Let's take our Bibles and go to 1 Peter chapter number 1. 1 Peter chapter number 1. Looking through the scriptures, I noticed a lot of verses that deal with the subject of hope. And we need hope. There's hope available. What is hope? Pastor, hope is confidence in a future event. Hope is confidence in a future event. A lot of people in the business world hope that they will have a job for the future, but sometimes when they go in, I was talking to a lady just the other night that did, actually Miss Annie, that one visit with Brother Peters. She has cancer, remember her in prayer as well. We added her to the prayer list. She used to do calls for a call company, and she came to work one evening and the whole thing was closed down. She just thought it was going to be a job for a long, long time. Well, that happens. And it breaks people's hope in economy and in the workforce and so forth and so on. But I'm telling you, we have hope as believers. We do have hope. The highest degree of well-founded expectation of good, as in God's promises. That's hope.
Amen.
There's hope. So we're going to look at hope tonight. And we need hope, and we need to realize that it is a blessed thing to have hope. 1 Peter chapter number 1, the first thing I noticed about hope was that it is a living hope. 1 Peter chapter number 1 and verse number 3. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. I'm thankful this evening, church, that when I lay my head down on by my bed at night to rest and to get my body regenerated and renewed for the next day's labor, that when I lay my head down at night, I have a Savior that is risen from the grave, that sits at the right-hand throne of God. He lives forevermore, and there's hope in that. And it helps me the next day, whenever the energy and strength is renewed, I can put my feet back down on the floor, I can get up out of bed, and I can go on serving God because He has given us a living hope.
Amen.
There's other religions, dear friend, who they put their faith and hope and trust in someone that's still in the grave. And I don't know how they do it, to be honest with you. I don't know how they worship in the system they worship in, knowing that their own teachings, their own beliefs, teach that their founder is still in a grave somewhere. Many of them make distant travels to go worship at that gravesite. And I'm just thankful this morning when people take the Holy Land tours and they get around there to where they believe was the tomb where the Lord Jesus buried, that when they look in there, it's an empty tomb. Amen. And He's living forever. Boy, that's hope.
Amen.
It gets discouraging sometimes in this world we live in, just to be honest with you. It really does. I tell you quite often, I can only take so much of the news. If I watch news in the morning time, when I get up, get ready for my day about 5 or 6 o'clock and I turn it on, if I go past 10 minutes of news, I'm ready to go get back into bed. I'm ready to just get into bed because it's doom, it's gloom, and it's nothing that's going right. Everything's going bad. But I'm so thankful with the Lord Jesus Christ, it's going good and it'll keep going good. It always has been that way. Living hope. The next thing I noticed about hope was found in Titus. Titus chapter number 2. Flip over there. Titus chapter number 2. Titus chapter number 2. Verse number 13. Titus chapter 2, verse 13. The Bible says there in verse number 13 of Titus chapter number 2. Looking for that blessed hope and that glorious appearance of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Not only is it a living hope, but it's a blessed hope that in one day, this new body, this old temple which we live in with the aches and the bones that hurt, the backs, the muscles that get pulled, the problems that we have, the eyes that dim, the ears that no longer hear like they should, that one day this old temple is going to be done away with, and we're going to get a new body, and we have that blessed hope that we can look for that appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And what hope that is.
Amen.
Again, there's religions that teach that this is all there is. Right here on earth. You don't get to enjoy nothing else. Because you're not part of the privilege. You're not part of a certain group. And they believe it. And they're faithful to that religion. I'm just so amazed how they are so faithful to that religion. And thinking that, hey, all that is in front of me is what I'm enjoying right now. Well, I'm telling you, dear friend, there are some days in the year, I know we're already in March and we're the second day of March, but out of 365 days, there's some of those days that it's just, to be honest with you, on the human outlook, it's bad. When I look at it, I look around me, I look at everything's going on, and I get in the mully grubs, and it's bad. And if all I had to look forward to was another day of this and another day of that, and whenever life is finished and all the breath is drawn out of my body and I have no hope, nothing to look forward to, listen, again, I just go climb back in the bed, I pull the covers up to my eyes, and I just sit there and wait. But you know what's an amazing thing it is? That when we go through those storms of life and the difficulties of life, we can always look forward. We can always know that we have confidence in the fact that there's coming a day when the Lord Jesus Christ is going to call from heaven and He's going to say, come up hither, and we're going to be out of this. And I'm not going to have to be around all this trouble anymore. And there's going to come a day and time when He wipes away the tears. There'll be no sin there. The lion will lay down with lambs. Hey, listen, and there will be just a blessed time of worshiping around the throne of God.
Amen. Amen.
Blessed hope. Jeremiah. This is a good verse here. Jeremiah 17:7. We'll just keep moving a little slowly through this. The Word of God from verse to verse and looking at what God says about hope. Jeremiah 17 and verse number 7. This goes along with that blessed hope. Jeremiah 17:7. The Bible says there, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. And I'm telling you, dear friend, I have confidence. I have confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. Why, preacher? Because the Bible said that there would be a day that a virgin would give birth, and guess what? It happened. The Bible said that one day that the Lord Jesus Christ would be crucified on the cross of Calvary. In Psalms chapter 22 gives a great detail of that crucifixion. Guess what? It happened. Jesus said, I must suffer many things at the hands of these people. But on the third day, this old temple, it'll rise again up out of that grave. Guess what? It happened.
Amen.
Blessed hope. Confidence. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. Verse number 16. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 16. If you had looked there, so we saw it's a living hope. It's a blessed hope. And this verse here teaches us that it's a good hope. Now, our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God, even our Father, which have loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. That verse there, if you'll look at it, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, He's the one that gave it. But not only Him, and God, even our Father. You know how blessed it is to be able to call God our Father?
Amen.
There's 6 billion people in this world. Not every one of them can call Him Father.
Amen.
There's only one way to be coming to the family of God, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You have to be born again. And when you get born again and you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, hey, listen, it's not words you say from your mouth. It's not things you do with your body. It's a work of righteousness which takes place in our heart. And when that work of righteousness takes place in our heart through faith and repentance toward God, we're born into this family. We bow our knee, an old sinner, and we get up a child of the King. It's a good hope.
Amen.
Hey, it's a good hope. Not only is it a good hope, it's a sure hope. Hebrews chapter number 6. Hebrews chapter number 6. Well, I just love the Bible. You get all troubled and down and discouraged. There's just hope and there's confidence. There's faith. There's encouragement in there. There's a pathway to comfort. Hebrews chapter number 6 and verse number 19. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse number 19. The Bible says there, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth into that within the veil. That's the kind of hope we have. Sure hope.
Amen.
Have you ever had a business dealings with a company for some? Say you had a company that was going to come over and they were going to spray wash a house. They were going to spray wash the house and they were going to spray wash the sidewalks. And, you know, they sent you some pictures. You can look in on the computer, look at the link. And it looked all beautiful. It looked all nice. And you say, well, this is the company I think I'm going to choose. They come out. They send a representative to come out and do that and give you an estimate. And you get the contract in your hand. And it says everything that's going to be done, the scope of the work and the cost and the day they're going to start, the day they're going to finish, and it's there. And they ask you just to sign that, to have that contract worked out. And you sign it, they leave. And that evening, somebody comes by your house and they say, man, I'm just having a bum day. Well, what's wrong with you? Well, I used this company to come and do some spray washing. And I'll just tell you, they tore up my house. They got so close with the spray wash, they cut into the wood. And I said, well, man, that's sad. What's that? You go over, you get that little contract. You start looking, well, what's the name of that company? You want to know. You're losing confidence. You lose confidence. Hey, it's the ABC spray washing. You say, ABC spray washing. That's who I just signed the contract with. There's no confidence in that contract anymore, is it? Let me tell you something. Our contract's been signed by the Holy Spirit of God, sealed.
Amen.
Sealed from on high. It's the earnest of our redemption, Sister Debbie. Listen, we have confidence in the sure anchor of our soul. And listen, though church members may get upset and get mad at the church, get mad at each other, and leave the church and leave and tell somebody, listen, it ain't worth it, it ain't part of it, it doesn't matter, it doesn't change the confidence in the fact that it wasn't Jesus that did them wrong, it was humans.
Amen.
Can I help you out something? Hurt people hurt each other. Not one person that I've ever met that has ever left the church and ever got outside of the house of God and said, I'm done with church, has ever given me one line of purpose that it was God that did them wrong. Is it? Preacher didn't shake my hand. The deacons wasn't kind to me. They won't let me teach. They won't let me sing. And this and that. It's always they. It's always... Can I help you out just a little bit? If it is always a problem with they, can we not sometimes include ourselves in the they? Man, my husband, if you just knew how bad he was. Well, you're his wife. Well, my wife, you didn't know how... Well, you're his husband. You're his husband. Listen, humans fail each other. Constantly. But not one time, never, has the Lord Jesus Christ let down one person.
Amen.
You know this is his testimony?
Amen.
I will in no wise cast them out.
Amen.
No man can pluck them.
Amen.
I have a sure confidence, a sure hope in the Lord Jesus Christ, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure, steadfast, which entereth into that within the veil. You know what veil that's talking about? We went into the Holy of Holies.
Amen.
Now we have access to the throne of God because He entered where no man could enter. So we have a living hope, a blessed hope, a sure hope. 1 Thessalonians. I know some of you are thinking, I sure hope you get done, Pastor. But I'll tell you, there's a lot of hope in here, so we got about 20 more hopes to look at. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. This is a good message on hope and on encouragement. Man, if a preacher was preaching this, I'd say, preach on. Don't stop. Let's go.
Amen.
He wasn't tearing up my sin I was living in. He was just talking about hope. Hey, keep going, preacher. I'd be all excited about that. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 19. The Bible says there, 1 Thessalonians 2:19, for what is our hope, our joy, our crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at His coming? It's a joyful hope. You know what that is, church? I'm going to try to illustrate it to you just for a moment. What would you come here, buddy? We labor together in church. We go soul winning. We try to live a Christian life. And listen, sometimes we fail. Just to be honest with you, we do. But we reach somebody with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they get saved. And they're around us, and they're in our church, they're here. There's come a day whenever the Lord, you know what it said there, what it said, the last four words of that verse, at the coming of Him? You know what our joy is? Whenever we can look beside us and we finish our race, our course, and there's others that's been right alongside us. That's joy. When we can stand side by side at the coming of Lord Jesus Christ and we know that we've labored together with Him.
Amen.
That's a joyful hope.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. You know how heartbreaking it is sometimes whenever you work and you labor. And I'm going to tell you, whenever I first got in ministry, preacher after preacher told me this. They said, Brother Lane, I'm just going to be honest with you. Those that you help the most, they're going to hurt you the most. But I'll never let it stop you from helping people.
Amen. Amen.
And I'm telling you, it's worth it. Whenever we, Brother Jim says, take that song book and let's open up, or he asks somebody to stand up in prayer, and I sit and I look out there and I see who's here in their place where they're supposed to be. And I'm just going to tell you, church, it is joyful. And that's just right here. I'm not talking about whenever, when at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and we're all there together. I'm talking about here. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, special events, whatever it is. And I look out there and people that should be in their place and they're there. I tell you, it brings joy in my heart.
Amen.
And I'm ready to go again. And I'm ready to get up and just go another step further. And I know if it encourages me that way, it encourages you as well. As you look around and you see each other in your place and you're just there for what? Is our hope, our joy, our crown of rejoicing, are not even ye in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ that is coming? That's what Paul's talking about to the church at Thessalonica. You are my joy. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter number 1. A living hope, it's a blessed hope, it's a good hope, sure and steadfast, joyful hope. Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. 1 John chapter number 3. 1 John, hold your place there. So I'm going to flip back there. Hold a finger in that place. 1 John chapter number 3, verse 3. The hope of glory in us. 1 John chapter 3, verse number 3. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Who? Christ Jesus, the hope of glory. Church, when we got saved, the Holy Spirit of God moved in, lives inside of us forever. He's there. He's ours. It's the Holy Spirit's job to convict, to guide, to lead. And the Bible says there in verse 3 of 1 John chapter 3, and every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself. It's not the pastor's job, dear friend, to come around and say, ladies, that dress is a little bit too short, sing in the choir. Ladies, that blouse is just a little bit too low, and you're not going to be able to sing that special. Men, you're going to have to keep your shirt on because we couldn't allow our ladies to run around here with their shirts off. Who does it? Every man that hath this hope in himself, and him purifieth himself. Well, how does he get that knowledge? The Holy Spirit of God. You know what the preacher's job is, church? Preach the Word of God.
Amen.
That you may grow thereby.
Amen.
That you might be able to take the Word of God and build yourself up, edify yourself, and grow thereby. But unfortunately, in the life which we live, the days of our lives, sometimes the preacher has to be the bad egg. And I don't mind being it, but you know what brings more joy? When I see the Holy Spirit changing people to be more like Christ.
Amen.
Well, how's that? The hope of glory. It lives in me. Well, what do I need to do? How about just asking? Lord, am I pleasing to you? Lord, is my attitude, is it pleasing to you? Lord, my actions towards my employer, employee, my wife, my child, my friend, are my actions pleasing to you? Because so many times we're desiring to do the right thing, but I think we're asking the wrong question. We ask, honey, is what I'm doing okay with you? Well, what do you think she's going to take? No, I wish you'd straighten up. Really? Then, you know, it wouldn't go. Why don't we ask the right person with the right answers? Because if I am pleasing to God and I'm purifying myself even as He is pure, it doesn't really matter what society thinks. Doesn't matter what my friends think. I'm right with Him.
Amen.
And I don't have to be pleasing to you or to them or today. If I'm pleasing to Him, I'm good to go.
Amen.
And I don't have to flaunt my stuff like I'm some cock rooster trying to get in a cockfight. I just live my life pleasing to Him.
Amen.
You know what the movie Friday Night, what happened? What did it say? What was I wish I could remember the Latin. I can't remember it. But the English part was this. Do what's right, come what may. Well, they're going to be upset with do what right, come what may. But they're going to talk. They're going to talk whether you do right or wrong. I want to hear Him talk and say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I want to hear Him say, like He said to Satan about Job, has thou considered my servant Job? You know what? I don't want God to have to tap out for me. You know that WMA, cage fighting, stuff that I do with the teenagers all the time. I get them tapped out every other day. All I do is ask them to come around the church and work. Preacher, I got something to do. I'm busy. If I ask them to come go hunting or fishing, they're all up and ready to go. Not really. We got good teams that come around and work. But you know, if they get you in a certain hole and you can't handle it, you're supposed to tap out. I don't want God to be in the conversation with the devil. The devil said, what about laying down there? And you have to tap out for him. He's not ready. You know what the devil's going to say? Why not? He's got the Holy Spirit living in him. He's selfish. He's self-centered. It's all about him now. What about Justin? Okay, go on. You can talk to him. Preacher, is that really happening? Or I don't know. I do know that the devil asked him, God asked him what you've been doing. To and fro, going about, seeing and seeking. And he says, hast thou considered my servant Job? I'm sure that Job was not the only servant. I'm sure that God can look down through the fallen ranks and probably chose the bunch, because the Bible teaches that there 7,000 hasn't bowed the knee to Baal. But I'm sure there was more than 7,000. I just would hate to know that there came a time in my Christian walk that God had to bypass me for a job, because I wasn't ready to take it. Well, how do you get ready? 1 John chapter 3, verse 3. Purify ourselves as He is pure. You know, the Bible teaches us that God desires to use us as a vessel of honor.
Amen.
And there's vessels that honor and dishonor. I want to be a vessel of honor. Church, I know you want to be a vessel of honor. I look around and I see how you yield and give yourself to the Lord. I look and see how God has blessed our church over the last 5 years. 63 years of blessings, really. He really has. Yeah, it dipped and it went down a little because of certain circumstances and scenarios. But these last 5 years, I've seen a group of people that said, Lord, here am I.
Amen.
We need you. We need you.
Amen.
And Lord's blessed. I mean, we have Bible clubs now. We have teen clubs. We have teenagers. We've got a team that's willing around 20 people to go to Honduras in December. Giving themselves to go minister to folks they don't even know.
Amen.
How's that happen? People wanting to be pleasing to God. We have Hope Church. Let's stand on feet. We have hope, blessed hope, sure hope, good hope, a living hope. Preacher, I understand what you're talking about, but it's kind of confusing. Well, the natural man never understands spiritual things. Impossible. Just having difficulty understanding these verses tonight, perhaps it's because you've never been born again. And the Holy Spirit of God doesn't live inside of you. I tell you this evening, I'd love for you to be a child of the King. I can't make you, our church can't make you. But I tell you what, the Bible's full of promises.
Amen.
It says if any man, boy, girl, or child, would just realize their need for a Savior, understanding that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, there's none righteous. No, not one. But there's a wage for that sin. But there's a gift of God. That's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. If any man, boy, or girl realizes that, turns to God and says, God, in faith, I trust the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. God, I repent of what I've done and how I've lived and what I've trusted in. See, it's not by works of righteousness which a man is saved, but it's through His mercy. Through His mercies. Our church can't do it. It's already been accomplished, already been finished by Christ. Can't even see the kingdom of God unless you've been born again. So if you're having trouble understanding what hope I was talking about, I'd love to introduce you through the Bible, that living hope, the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll be standing down here. Make yourself available to the Holy Spirit of God. Listen to it. Don't tarry. Don't tarry. It's an important decision to know whether or not you're a child of the King. Perhaps you've been struggling. Perhaps there's been some pain in your life, some circumstances that you have gotten away and realized that, man, I hadn't been leaning on those everlasting arms like I should. These altars are open. These altars are open. What page, Brother Jim?
264.
264, church. Listen to the Holy Spirit.
Prayer for the Robert Vernon. Would you lead us, please?
Lord, we do thank you.